Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we begin this session, and we've already been sampling and taking a glance at some of these different subjects, God, and this is the most fearful. We're delving into, God, the work of Satan in such a way that it draws out the absolute worst in the human soul. God, I really don't like knowing the depths of Satan, and I don't want to know the depths of Satan. God, we have an enemy, and he's capitalizing on people's purposeful ignorance of the Bible. And God, there's some men in here, and as men, we are responsible for our families, we are responsible for our churches, we are responsible for an influence in our communities, in our cities, and the people around us, God. And we're not doing a very good job. We're not being much of a light in this darkening time. So, God, please make us mad. Make us angry first at ourselves and then at the sin that we have allowed to creep in almost unawares into our lifestyles, into our thought processes, into our homes, into our churches, into our country. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to find a way back and that this country would experience regeneration and revival simply because we fear you. Put the fear of God in us this morning. Make it very clear and helpful this morning. I'm only going to do what I can do, and I pray you would do the rest, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some very important things that we've got to start when we start to deal with the subject of Sodom is I need you to go to Romans chapter 16. And there's some preliminary things when you start dealing with such sins, and I've seen some people, good Christians, even pastors and men of God, who've begun studying subjects like what we're going to look at this morning. They've studied subjects like rock music. They've studied subjects like drug use, and they get into it, and then they get so deep they never get back out. And it affects them. And I want to help you. We're not going to go too deep, but we're going to get to where it hurts here. In Romans chapter 16, look at your Bible. The Bible says this. Romans chapter 16 and verse 19. Before we even start this study, we've got to set some ground rules. And the Bible helps us. 16:19 says this. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise. That's the word for smart. Come on. I would have you wise into that which is good. So where should your emphasis be? What should you be studying? Things that are good and simple concerning evil. You know, it'd be wonderful if I were talking to men who didn't have an idea of what went on behind closed doors between sodomites. Amen. It'd be nice, but I'm afraid it's the opposite. But our kids, and thank God for children who grow up in Christian homes and homes that are protected, the world will look and mock you and say, you're insulating them. Of course we are.
Amen.
So your children don't know. Thank God they don't know. This Bible says, be simple concerning evil. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. And I'm looking at men. I don't care if you've been down the road 400 miles already and done a lot of stuff. You know, there's some things you don't need to remember. There's some things you don't need to discover about what's going on. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, for meat destroy not the work of God. Did I say wrong? Am I on the right one? Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 14:20 For meat, I'm in Romans. Sometimes I make a mistake. All right. That's why Dan is here. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:20 Thank you. Brethren, be not children in understanding. That's why we're in the Bible. That's why we're church. We're not stupid. We don't want to be children in our understanding. Howbeit, in malice. Now, malice is what goes on inside the heart and the mind. However, in malice, be ye what? All right, so, man, be children. But in understanding, be men. So be childlike towards evil. I mean, just look at it and pass on. Don't go, wow, let me see what more is. Psalm 131 now. Middle of your Bible, Psalm 131. This is the attitude we have to have towards such sins as we're going to talk about this morning. Psalm 131 in verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Now, I just want to sort of just turn it around and say, I don't want to mess with things that are too low for me either. All right? But the idea is this: don't get too deep in trying to understand just how wicked men can get. Don't exercise in stuff that are beyond your reach. Okay? And as a Christian, I'm just glad to have some superficial understanding that makes me sick enough to say, I don't want to know anymore. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And folks, I read this stuff. I've got books on this same-sex marriage stuff. I read a little bit of it and I put it down. If you're in the ministry, you gotta pick up this stuff because people are using terms. They're talking and you're like, what is going on here? But I tell you where I spend my time. Psalm 119 and verse 99. Psalm 119:99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. There's one book I spend all my time in, folks. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And because of verses 99 and 100, verse 101 says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. A book on same-sex marriage is not going to keep me from sinning. But this book will keep me from sinning. Amen. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Psalm 119, 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. I hope you realize when you're in church, you're in Sunday school, you're in men's camp, it's not just these guys preaching and teaching you, you're letting God teach you. All right? So, fourth point is stay in the Bible. When you start getting into these sins, there are some things that just, the Bible's clear enough. Amen? The Bible's clear enough. And one last thing, let's not be haughty. I need you to realize the whole world is wicked. Not just homosexuals. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Somebody quote it. Romans 3, 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Don't you ever get the idea that, well, that's a wicked sin. So are you. 1 John 5, 19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Remember, not just Sodom and sodomy and sodomites and all that stuff is wicked. And they are wicked. You know, anger is wicked. Right. Amen. Heterosexual sin is wicked. Right. Amen. So, let's start talking here. What was Sodom like before God's judgment? You ever wonder about that thing? Look at Genesis 13. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was even as the garden of who? Man, they had a memory. Somebody told them what the Garden of Eden was like. And so when he saw it, he said, that must have been what the Garden of Eden was like the land of Egypt. As thou comest unto Zoar. It was beautiful, man. It was like the Garden of Eden. It was well watered. It was lush. It was almost Irish. It was a plain, flat land. It was fertile for lands and crops and cattle. It was just perfect for investments, for your cattle, for solid growth portfolios. What was Sodom like before God's judgment? Well, it wasn't going to stay that way for very long. If you go down there now, it's very mountainous. It's not flat anymore. That place has experienced something cataclysmic. It's nothing like, still isn't anything like what it was before God's judgment. Now, when we talk about the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, I want you to understand that there are some things that were so horribly wrong. And I would like to make you sick this morning. I'd like you, like we were thinking last night, while we were talking last night and listening to the preaching, just realizing just how vile this father and husband was. Lot's own sins. It just makes a man who's a father sick of the thoughts of what he countenanced, what he allowed, what he lived with. Well, let's see what they were living with. Let's go to Genesis 19 and verse 5. Genesis 19 and verse 5. Well, let's just read starting in verse 1. There came two angels to Sodom and Eden. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, somebody asked me this morning and said, do you think he knew they were angels? And I don't think he did. You can debate with me all morning. I don't care. But I don't think he was that smart. I don't think he had a spiritual bone in his body. He had no idea that these two guys were angels. He just saw them as clients, as people he could start trade negotiations with. He also saw them as naive, because you're going to find out they want to sleep on the street. And he says, you can't do that here. If he knew they were angels, he would have said, guys, you're safe. You're fine. You're quite capable of handling this thing. Keep going there. 19 verse 2, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. He's inviting them into his home. He says, come and meet my family. Listen, we love visitors. And tarry all night. Now he's trying to hide the fact, as we learned last night, trying to hide the fact that Sodom is such a wicked place. He says, wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread. He had to fix it very fast, couldn't raise the bread, but he baked unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. The first lifestyle that these people had, the first time you meet the men of Sodom, you find a sexual context right in your face. I mean, there's no warming up to it, folks. It didn't talk about any other sins, just right in the face. And I like my King James Bible. I like the fact that it uses the word no. Back there in Genesis chapter 3, it says, chapter 4, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. Amen. You know, when you're a kid and you read that, you don't get any wrong ideas, do you? You grow up a little older and you know exactly what's going on. Amen. You pick up the new Bibles and it says, and Adam had sex with his wife. And you throw it away, man. I don't want to read any more of that trash. Amen. So you come to this page and you can be a 7-year-old and read this verse and it's okay. Amen. But we know what they're talking about. We know exactly what's going on here. Leviticus, hold your place here in Genesis. Go to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. You know, last time I checked, Leviticus was still in my Bible. Is it in yours? Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's Leviticus 18, 22. This is how they saw sex, folks. They saw it as anything goes. It was only for pleasure. And it was not a once-off thing. You go on and you get to the book of Judges and you find in Judges chapter 19, in the very communities of Israel, It says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, and they beat at the door, and they spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thy house, that we may know him. It's going on even still 4,000 years later today. What a once-off thing. And this is no normal sin. Think about it. This is such a violent act. This is not love. And I'll tell you, I said this yesterday, you never met any angrier people than people who call themselves gay. The worst oxymoron of all is somebody who claims to be a gay person and they're homosexual. They're the angriest people I've ever met. They're the most intolerant people. Over in America, there are a couple of big name companies that one guy gave just a few bob to what was called Proposition 8 over in California, and they brought him down. They fired the CEO of Firefox because he's for same-sex marriage. I'm sorry, he's for biblical marriage, traditional marriage, and everybody just fired off emails, and they hounded him, and they fired him. They are the most intolerant people on the planet. And it's very destructive. The sins of God, Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. What does the Bible say in Colossians 3:2? Set your affection. Watch how affection shows up here in our Bible in an opposite context. Romans chapter 1 and verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile. There's that word. I wonder why the New Bibles change it to mind over there in Colossians. It's so that you can't run the connection with the vile affections. I know that if I start loving this world, my affections have a hard time being set on things above. Amen? For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, against design, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural women, use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah were sexual sins. They were sins not just physical, but they were sins of affection. See, we talk about somebody who has committed physical adultery, but we know the Bible says it's just as wicked to do it in your heart. And we read in Sodom, they did physical, abominable things, and yet it says God gave them over to vile, not acts, even though acts of homosexuality are wicked, but the sin was in their affection, was in what they loved. Look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. You can leave Genesis there. We'll come back to it in a few minutes. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 14. Every time you find sodomy and homosexuality, you'll find these similar sins. Jeremiah chapter 23 in verse 14. Jeremiah 23 verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in life. These are prophets. These are people who are supposed to be speaking for God. They walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers. There's Barack Obama. He has in a Muslim. He has in Hindus. And he has in, for Easter, he has in a queer bishop. Some guy who claims to speak for God, this queer bishop comes in and prays over their breakfast. What's a bishop doing queer? He's not a bishop. I know that. Verse 14 continues on. and they strengthen the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from their wickedness. They are all of them unto me like who? As Sodom. And the inhabitants thereof are as Gomorrah to me. You know, what we're looking at is how people see sex, how people see love, how people view marriage. It's all tied to this. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, going back and forth. Leviticus chapter 20. What was so horribly wrong going on in Sodom? Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 11. I want you to see how people view family and children. Leviticus chapter 20. And look at the context, starting in verse 11. And this is just repulsive. Chapter 20, verse 11. I mean, I didn't get saved till I was 17. But I never would have ever considered any of this stuff, man. Maybe you've been around it. I just thank God for grace. But you read some of this stuff and you go, how do they sear their conscience to go this far? Look at your Bible, chapter 20 and verse 11. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. It's that serious. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion and their blood shall be upon them. If a man lie with mankind, look at the context. Now we see it's all in the same context. Man with man lieth with as he lieth with a woman. Both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. It's incest, man. How they view family and children. Oh, well, I love my daughter-in-law. You don't love nothing. But you know, there's another verse. Look at the next verse, verse 15. It goes even beyond that. Verse 15. And if a man lie with a... He shall surely... Look at the context. Look what's all grouped together. God didn't do that by accident. He put adultery in there. He puts in incest. He puts bestiality. And in the middle of it is homosexuality. Now, you can start anywhere you want, but you'll end up at the same place. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 16. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereunto... I mean, I never imagined this stuff. And lie down thereunto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. You say, God is really rough. No, sin is wicked. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood, it's on their head. Their blood shall be upon them. But that's not the worst of it. Go to Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. When I say the worst, I mean this isn't the worst pride, but this isn't the worst sin. This is the doorway into all of that sin. Ezekiel 16:49. And I'll be quite honest with you. This will keep you from listening to this marriage message. This will keep you from getting any different after this camp. This stops you from getting saved. This stops you from living a godly life. This stops you from listening to a preacher yelling in your face. This stops you from reading your Bible and accepting it as the Word of God. This stops you from ever growing as a Christian. It's right here, and it will keep you from ever getting the victory over every sin in your life. Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What was it? Pride. Fullness of bread, Celtic tiger. And the abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Now you say, where's homosexuality? This was the door. This is what began and lent itself. So all they thought about was self. And they were too proud to ever hear anybody correct them. Sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, pride. I got one more. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 32. For their vine, speaking of grapes, for their vine is the vine of Sodom. 32:32. For their vine is as the vine of Sodom. It came from Sodom. In the fields of Gomorrah, their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. And you know, we're dealing with a generation of people, for some unknown reason, I don't know all the ins and outs, but people are bitter against God. They are just, you touch the subject of God, bitterness, man. And that's a sin of Sodom. Now, they were destructive. Go back to Romans. Go back to Romans. We'll get back to Genesis in a minute here. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 23, let's talk about how destructive Sodom's sins were. You know, some sins you can mess with and come back and it doesn't really burn you too much. Remember when you were a kid and you stole your first pack of chewing gum? You know, your friends said, "Go on, go on, go on." And you were sweating bullets, man. Oh my goodness. You know, there are some sins you can come back from. There are some sins you almost never can come back from. Watch the destructiveness of this sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. Go back a few verses than we started before. Verse 22. Here we start in verse 22. It says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God unto an image made like to corruptible..." Not women. Wow. You ever watch the Greek architecture and Greek art? Greeks loved the male body. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds. The last time you saw somebody worshiping a bird. Four-footed beasts and creeping things. Study the history of the religion of Egypt. They worshipped bugs. And cats. That's stupid, man. Verse 24. "Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness." That doesn't mean dirty fingernails either. It's uncleanness in the brain. "Through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." You know, marriage is what? Honorable. And the bed, undefiled. But when your marriage becomes dishonorable, you cross the line. Amen, 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 amen. Was between two consenting adults. What? "To dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lusts one to another." Those guys banging at that door at Sodom's house, what were they doing? They were burning. This wasn't a, "Hey, can we come in for a cuppa?" They beat that door down. There was such a drive, they couldn't stop. They burned in their lusts, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, "being filled." That's the worst word in the whole list. They became completely obsessed. They became filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God Do you know how long it had been when Sodom was destroyed? How long it had been since Noah's flood? Only 400 years. And those boys were living 200-300 years at that point. Everybody knew about the destruction of God. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. You don't tell me that homosexuality does not, and all of those sins do, the more you dabble in them, that's for sure. But the Sodom's sins were destructive because it is very addictive. Look at Jude 1:7. We'll go back to Genesis in a moment. Jude 1:7. It is very addictive. Jude 1:7. Just before Revelation. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. Next three words. Giving themselves over. I had a guy tell me, addiction's not a Bible word. Well, neither is Trinity. But that's an addict. Completely taken over by something external. There's only one power that's supposed to be over you, and it's not your wife. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and you yield to Him. Amen? But to give yourself over, look at this. It talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Going after. They're like dogs. Going after strange flesh are set forth to this very day for an example. And that's, I'm afraid it's not preached enough. I'm afraid we're not making this as an example. I love the example of Jesus Christ. We lift up and honor Him. He is the example to follow. But did you know God says Sodom is an example? Set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Our generation does not fear God because we forgot to preach the other half of the Bible. Genesis 19 now. I'll show you just how addicted they were. Genesis 19 is really quite humorous. I appreciate how some people have not preached my message yet. I was listening to you yesterday. I was going, don't say it, don't say it, stop there. Don't hit the next verse. Genesis 19 and verse 9. If we'll start in verse 5. They called unto Lot and they said unto him, where are the men which came? This is how they really said it. Where are the men? That's as far as I want to go. Amen. Behold, now I have... Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, too far yet. Let me start... Where did I start off? I had too much fun. 19.9, thanks. No, I didn't want to go this way. I started at 5. Yeah, amen. Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and he shuts the door after him. He thinks he's protecting those guys. And he said, I pray you, brethren... We're brethren, aren't we? We're buddies. You trust me, don't you? Do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have my two daughters here. What a wicked man. He's not worth shooting. I have these two daughters, which have not known man. No wonder nobody wanted them. Let me, some of you... I don't want to know what you're thinking. Anyway, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye unto them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Yeah, where were your daughters living? I can't believe what I'm reading. And they said, these are the men. They said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and they came near to break the door. They all swarmed around him. They were going to push down that door. They began to beat down that door. Verse 10, but the men... The only reason, because there was a man of God up on a hill 30 miles away praying. But the men put forth their hand, these two angels, and they pulled Lot into the house and they shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. And I want you to just stop there for a second. I mean, if you went blind right now, you would, I got to get out of here. I got to get to a doctor. What's wrong with me? You would stop everything, wouldn't you? Not these guys. When they became blind, look what it says. Verse 11, it says, both small and great, everybody was made blind so that they wearied themselves. They still wanted to find the door. They still wanted in that house. Let me tell you, if you never want to get that far down, if you never want to get to that sin where you are so, it doesn't matter what happens in your life, you still have to have that next drink. You still have to have that next high. You still have to, and you know you were there at some points in your life. Look at how wicked Lot had gotten himself into in that wicked place, because that sin becomes consuming. It's unbelievable. None of them believe they can ever be free. I got news for them. They can be. It is addictive. It affects absolutely everyone. Back there in verse 4, it says, before they, these men, laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about. Look at the next words. Both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Means the guys across the track, uptown, downtown. The whole town was at. This sin is not something that's sort of, you know, only heard about. It affects everything, and it is affecting our nation. It is affecting every country. I know the homosexual, I'm sorry, I know the Muslims get up and they say, oh, we hate homosexuals. They're lying. They have much stuff going on I don't even want to talk about. But it is everywhere, folks. It affects everyone and it destroys people. It destroys people from the inside out, first in the brain, families, cities, nations. It's like a cancer. I believe Sodom, if you walked into Sodom, it was hell on earth. The violence that went on there, I'll show you something. Do I have my verse? Yes. Genesis 18:21. Look at chapter 18 in verse 21. God is talking to, look in verse 20, God is talking to Abraham. Abraham's interceding. Verse 20, and the Lord said, behold, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. He hears the crying, the weeping. Listen, there may be pleasure in sin, but with homosexuals, it is only for the briefest of instances, and then after that, it's pain. I don't want to be too rude, but did you know right now they are not wanting to admit that somewhere around 8% and 9% of the homosexual crowd is living with colon bags because their rears have had to be sewn up because of the violence that sin takes. They live with something that old people have to live with because of cancer. They live with it because of sin. It destroys people. And then verse we read there in Romans chapter 1, it says they receive the recompense that is due them. Somebody says, where did AIDS come from? God ordained. That is God ordained judgment. By the way, it used to be known as GAIDS, I think, but it was acquired immune deficiency syndrome only related to homosexuals. The only way it gets passed to heterosexual is if guy's not faithful to his wife and he messes around what they call bisexuality or through drug use. It destroys people. Now when God starts to, here's a man. God ordained diseases. If you don't want that to be your son or your daughter, you better start taking seriously what God wrote in the Bible, that we've got to make a difference. We have to see souls saved. We've got to see churches started. We've got to see revival before this becomes up and down all of the aisles of our hospitals. And when God describes Sodom, look at Genesis 13 and verse 13. Genesis 13, 13. Unique numbers there. Genesis 13, 13, the Bible says, and this is when God writes, He says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." I had a queer look at me, try to say, it's not that bad a sin. It's just like you adulterers. I know adultery is wicked. And God will. The Bible says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. But this is pretty extreme language. So the first way that God describes sodomy, He describes it as wicked. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20. Genesis 18 and verse 20. We already read it there, but look at it again. The Lord said, "Behold, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great because their sin is very what?" Anybody know what grievous means? Let's see. Let me pick somebody. Patrick, I'll use you. Come up here for a second, please. You think you can carry me? Maybe. All right, turn around your back. Maybe. I didn't eat that much this morning. You know what grievous is? I don't want to hurt you, but I'm going to get on your back, all right? Now, I don't want to hurt him, but I want small. I want you to see. All right, hold on. Okay. Now, he can carry me around for a little while, but after a while, you know what's going to hurt? My weight. And I want you to understand, God was carrying the weight of that sin. He says, me putting up with that sin is heavy on me. Let's see, who's bigger? Let me get a big guy. Come on. No, I'm sorry. Sit down. I want you to understand, when God says something is grievous to Him, that means it's heavy. Are you getting the picture? When He says it's grievous, I know when something is heavy for me to carry and is grievous to me, it weighs down on my heart. What if something weighs down on God's heart and He says, it's grievous. I don't know how long I can carry this. That means it's so, so bad. This isn't something, just a simple sin. 2 Peter 2. Our memory verse from yesterday, 2 Peter 2:6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's the verse just before our memory verse. 2 Peter 2:6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live how? So God describes them as wicked, as grievous, and ungodly. Now, aren't those three words that are sort of bandied about today? And we sort of use them, ungodly, all wicked. You know, and we don't really carry the weight of the meaning of those words. You know, the word when the Bible says somebody's naughty, we don't realize naughty in the Bible is a very bad word. We got, oh, he's being naughty. Oh, he's being bold. But these are very serious words that make us, they're the opposite of what God is like. Evidently, God abhors sodomy. It's fit only for judgment. It's fit only for judgment. There are five main causes for Sodom's sin. And we read it there. I'm not going to take you back through there just for time. But one of the first things that will lead to such sins was laziness. You know, the first thing that Brother Layton does when he gets guys into the men's home, you know what he does? He puts them on a schedule. He keeps them busy. You know what your parents didn't do? They didn't keep you busy. They didn't give you chores. They pandered to you. They worried about how you felt, whether you wanted to eat this or whether you wanted to eat that. You know, we have created generations of people who are ready for homosexuality because they're self-centered. They are pandered to. They are catered to instead of, get up, make your bed, get down, and eat what mom fixed. Amen. When we've got generations of people who don't get a job until they're 25 years old, you've got lazy people. Oh, I studied. You looked at your phone. That's what you did for the last 4 hours. Amen. All these kids claiming that they're getting ready for their junior cert, they're getting ready for their senior cert. I know they're learning, but they're wasting a lot of time. They have the ability to be in church. They have the ability to be in the youth group. They have the ability to go soul winning. They have the ability to get a job even. Amen. I've been working since I was 14 years old. You can work. You say, where does it all begin? It begins in the home because of laziness. Best thing you can ever do to your kids is get them up early, get them working. And listen, you can't make them saved, but you can make them men. Amen. Amen. Make men out of them. Love of money and pleasure. Five main causes. When Sodom was there, it was wealthy. It was full of success. Yeah, love of money. Sodom's sins had all of this stuff feeding into it, and it just exploded like fungus. Pornography in the home. Men, I'm gonna warn you. If you have one of these internet phones, and if you do not take care and your wife does not have control of that phone, if you have secret access to the internet that I don't care if nobody knows about it, pornography in the home by especially the dad will bring a curse on your family that will last 2, 3, and 4 generations. If you don't take it serious that what you are looking at, whether your kids ever find out about it, whether your wife ever finds out about it, nothing will stop the judgment of God on your children and your children's children because of your wickedness. Pornography. You better turn that phone over to your wife every other day. Amen. Your wife ought to be your police officer. Amen. Bring it over here, bud. Pull over. Amen. That's a good reason to get married. Amen. Have somebody you're accountable to. If you don't have a wife, you better have a preacher. You better have an Abraham who can call you up and say, come on, give me your phone. Say, it's my phone. It's my private life. You're a stinking, filthy, selfish sodomite in the making. Amen. Pornography. It's like a curse. It brings the worst curse in your home. Aloneness. I don't like these guys. I'm glad you guys came. I'm glad. You know what? What God did for you when He put you in the RU home, He squished you in with a bunch of other guys. Which was good for you. Because when all you want to do is be alone. When all you want to do is, I just don't feel like going to church. Some of you kids are, I just want to play Warhammer. You know what you're doing? You're feeding the flesh. You're honoring yourself above what God said. God said, love the brethren. God said, not forsake the assembling, the grouping together of yourselves together. And there you are putting something else saying, I need some alone time. And all you do is you stay alone. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, let me tell you, Sodom and Gomorrah was part of 5 cities. They were off, way off from the normal beaten path. They got out there. And people, the main trade routes went beside them, didn't go through Sodom and Gomorrah. They pulled off, and this was a place you had to go to. They wanted to be alone. They were a resort place you went to. Listen, when you've got your attitude of saying, I just want to be alone, be careful. The devil's using you to prepare you so that some sin can be dropped in your lap, and then you won't be able to deal with it. You know, the best thing you need is another brother around. Amen. You need to have a relationship. Kids, in this room, dad, I don't care what it takes. I wish I had my son here. I wish I had somebody. I don't care what it takes. Dad, you need to not let your kids go to bed alone. You need to make sure you're the last person they see before they go to sleep. You put your arms around them and you say, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this son of mine. God, I don't deserve him. God, this young man here is growing up, and I pray you make me the dad that he needs. I pray that you help me to love him like you love us. God, I pray that you help me to honor this young man as he grows and he follows you, that you bless my son. Lord, I thank you for him. Lord, bless him. Give him a good sleep tonight. Lord, I look forward to seeing what you're going to do in our lives tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Give me a hug, son. I love you. Amen. Go right to sleep. No man, I read this, and I kind of believe it. No man ever lost his children when he prayed with them.
Your kids are away from you because you are away from them. Not because they don't want to be near you, dads, but because dads were too busy flipping through the channels. Dads were too busy doing all the paperwork for taxes and everything else. And dads were saying, good night, I'll see you tomorrow. Instead of going to make sure they're with them. The last person they see is not just mama, but daddy. Mama praying with especially boys is okay. But dad praying with their sons, that's the best. If you've got a son, you need to go out of here and say, I don't care if he's 24 years old. If he's in my home, I'm praying with him. Amen. Pride. There's that word again. Too proud to deal with sins. Too proud. We did this in camp a couple of years ago, youth camp a couple of years ago. We had the kids admit they got stuff on their phones. We had a bunch of kids get right that year. I mean, we talked straight up. We need some adults who say, I got some stuff that I've been looking at. I got some stuff I'm messing with. And the first thing I'm going to do is go grab my preacher. And in discretion, and when we're away from everybody else, I'm going to say, brother, I'm not right. And I want you to help me get right. And I want you to keep me right. Amen. Pride will keep you from being honest. You better check your own heart. You better check what you love. What you'll tolerate. And you better hate such sins. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 128. You know, hate is such a strong word, isn't it? And it's very important for men in this room. Man, how many of you hate broccoli? Let me see your hands. Hallelujah. There's one right man. There's another man right with God. Amen, amen. Our wives will not forgive us. All right. But you know what? That's the wrong thing to hate. Amen. I don't like them now. But you know, I reserve the word hate for the right things. Look at the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 128, therefore, I esteem, I value all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You better start hating such things. You start seeing somebody, I don't mean if you see a queer, I hate you, I want to go kill you. No. That's the easy way out. Look at verse 104. But I mean, look, you need to hate some things. Through Psalm 119:104, through thy precepts, just by learning thy word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Amen. You better hate these sins. Don't tolerate them. Don't tolerate them in your life. Don't tolerate them in your home. Don't tolerate them on your TV. Would you allow two men to kiss on your TV? I got one no. Would you allow two men to kiss on your TV? Now you're saying that, but I want to see you next Friday, Saturday night when you're sitting there watching and your kids are coming in and out and two guys start kissing on a really good film. Amen. Two girls. Oh, that's the fad today. Two women kissing. Oh, that's safe. What? You better hate it. You better hate it. That stuff gets on your television enough. You need to look and it says, out goes the TV. Because all it does is bringing sewage into your home. Causes of sins. You're going to have to, just like was preached, we can't just look at what's going on in Lot's life. We can't just look at what's going on in Sodom. We got to look at what started this process, what's feeding this process. Do you know why they can't cut out most cancers? Do you know why if you get cancer, do you know why they can't just cut it out? Because there are blood vessels feeding it. Blood vessels, if they stop the blood vessels, you die. But if you could stop the blood from getting to that cancer growth, you could be cured. But cancer becomes part of you. It's like cutting off a finger. But it's inside. It's vital to you to live. That cancer becomes part of your life. And to cut it out may cost you. And it's time for us to hate such sins. Oh, if you find yourself day in and day out, I'm bored. You're the devil's playground. You find yourself, I'm... Church is just boring. Sunday, I can get a job. I can make double money working on Sunday. You're the devil's playground. You mess around and says, well, it's only soft porn. What is soft? That's an oxymoron. You can't be in the same room with your parents. You need to get away with mom and dad and get right with them. You need to spend time with people. You need to spend time with men. I bet somebody told me, some of the guys that came in this morning, the little kids were running around. And look at all the big guys in here. That's a good thing. Don't insulate your children. Don't insulate your little boys from a group of men. We may look scary, but we're the best. Amen. And pride. And God's wrath. You know what Sodom means? You know what Sodom means? Burning. I don't think they thought about that. They thought it meant burning for lust. It came burning like hell. Gomorrah means submersion, as in a baptism of fire. Gomorrah means submersion. Sodom became the word for such a horrific sin. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Look at Deuteronomy 23. And you know, I bet it's in the books here in Ireland. I bet the law books still have this word. They just don't refer to it. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 17. It's in the law books in America. It's in the law books over in England. They're trying to get rid of them all. But it's there. Deuteronomy 23:17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a... Now, I live in Cork. You know what that makes me? Awesome. That's not an oxymoron. You're going to the back of the class. If I live in Cork, I'm a Corkonian. Amen? If you're in Dublin, you're a Dubliner. Yeah, right. If you're from Galway, you're a Galwegian. Amen? If you're from Sodom, you're a Sodomite. Sodom was gone. And yet people were still called what? Sodomite. So it wasn't where you came from. It's how you live now. There shall not be a Sodomite. So when somebody wants to call me gay, no. Gay had a television program on Friday nights called The Late Late Show. You're not gay. You're not gay. You're a Sodomite. You want to get punched? Call him a Sodomite. God's wrath. Go back to Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. Now I'm telling you, I'm going to warn you guys, listen to me. This is not a laughing matter. Where we stand as Bible believers, how many of you are Bible believers? Let me see your hands. All right, most of you. If you're going to believe what we're reading, and if you ever, ever preach it, you're going to be threatened with a lawsuit. You're going to be told you are a terrorist. You're a threat. You're a bully. Better be ready. I'm ready. Genesis 19, verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities. Get the word overthrew. You ever seen anybody angry enough to overthrow a table? I think I read somewhere where Jesus did that. And he did it in the temple. So there was an earthquake there like probably has not been on this planet for a long time. And he overthrew... I got to find my place again. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. Let me just stop there. Total destruction. Brimstone is a mineral substance, a flammable mineral substance that is in copious, in tons of quantities all around the Dead Sea. And when you think about brimstone, you talk about sulfur, you know, they take sulfur and they mix it with certain other chemicals and it becomes gunpowder. Just a little spark and poof. Total destruction, man. There's no life there today. They're going there collecting salt, and people are putting it on their face. And that's great, 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 great grandpa. Yeah. Amen. Total destruction. And Abraham watched it all happen. Look at verse 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld. And lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Abraham sat there and he watched it. And you're not looking at the anger of men. I've seen men get angry. You ever seen somebody punch a hole in a wall? I was around somebody who actually was so mad, he just turned and that's the anger of man. You're reading the anger of God. That's God's wrath. Now, what's funny is people say, that's not New Testament. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Jesus loves everybody. Thank God he does. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Jesus is talking about Armageddon and the second coming. Likewise also, as it was in the days of... Would you like to be remembered like Lot is remembered? Every time somebody remembers Lot, they remember Sodom and Gomorrah and judgment. What a way to... Talk about a legacy, man. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Oh, they did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom... It figuratively rained. No, it doesn't say figuratively. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus said it happened. You know, governments used to have laws against homosexuality. They used to have laws against it. Guys, it's amazing to me that when it says this, if a man shall lie... If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Who is in charge of doing that? The government. They used to. You know, there are laws against adultery in the Irish court system. They don't enforce them. You used to go to jail if you committed adultery. Now they don't enforce that. They definitely don't enforce this. But let me encourage you. There's a way back. First of all, go to 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. You know what I'm afraid to ask? I'm afraid to ask if any of you have a cousin or a nephew or a brother or sister who's wrapped up in all this stuff. Think about it. I don't want to answer. I want you not to think that they're beyond hope. 2 Peter 3:9. I like my Bible. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. You know, if there had been 10 righteous people living in Sodom, would Sodom have died, been burnt to a crisp? Why? The influence of 10 righteous people would have saved that city. Amen. God's not willing it should perish, but there comes a time where He says, there's no other hope. You see, there is a way back because God is not... First of all, God doesn't want to judge. You know, all sins can be forgiven. Say it with me. All sins can be forgiven. Thank God. Somebody said, what about the sin? Don't ask that. All sins can be forgiven. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. You say, I've got a sin I can't get the victory over. You know what? That's just one sin. Look what Jesus Christ will give you the victory over here. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the... So, you had a problem? Say, I'm still got to struggle with this sin. Amen. But God has given you the tools to overcome the world. Wow. Amen. Why? because He's greater. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? These are sins that will keep you out of heaven. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor politicians. That's what it says in the original. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But the blessed, most blessed words in the New Testament are, but such and such were some of you. Why? Because you're washed. You're sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, it's by God's grace that we are not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There is always... Listen, I'm talking to some people in this room. You've messed with some things. You've messed with some people. You know, some things that happen when you're 14, 15 years old around your friends. And that's one of the worst times when... And I'm talking very carefully. And that's the worst time for your kids to be spending the night over somebody else's house you don't know and stuff like that. And they come back... Their conscience has been defiled and they start to wonder, am I this or am I that? And they can't decide. You know what? Some of you, you struggle with some things. I don't know. Let me tell you, you can put it behind you because there's a way back. God designed you. How many of you are men here this morning? And this is the quietest group of men I ever heard. How many of you are men? God designed you a man. Pick your nose, play with your toes, stink. Amen. Make messes. Get in the dirt. Go fight wars. That's what men do. Amen. Say, I don't have anything to do. Dig a hole. Amen. That's what men do. Man, just mess up your hair. Put grease in it, man. And just look like you just got back from Afghanistan or something, man. Be man. Don't be your wife's girlfriend. You know, she doesn't want somebody to cry with. She wants somebody to lean on. Amen. Be man. God designed you as a man. Appreciate how God designed women as women. When you cross that line and you start saying, well, you know, I can't make up my mind. You better make it up. God designed you one way. You ought to appreciate how you're designed. Amen. You don't honor yourself, but you realize God made me. Amen. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Our kids are growing up. They don't know if they're pretty. They don't know if they're handsome. I mean, everybody's a winner today. We're all going to win. No wonder nobody's getting saved. You know, ever since I've been saved, I've been striving for the mastery. I've been laboring more than they all. Why? Because there is a prize. Amen. And it's by God's grace that our failures don't destroy us. Guys, listen to me. Thank God that it can be some of you. Such were some of you. 2 Peter, you better fear the coming judgment. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells you Sodom and Gomorrah was not the last time judgment was coming. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3:10. I know I've been long, but just endure. This is better than hell. Amen. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a big bang. All these evolutionists got it backwards. They think there was a big bang. They have no idea. There is a big bang coming. Coming with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent... Where have we seen that before? Sodom and Gomorrah was just a taste of the judgment to come. Shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't stop there? There's some encouraging words next verse. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, let me ask you, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for, I am, in hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Hey, I know this the heavens and the earth are going to wipe away, but look, I'm going to be with Jesus. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I love it. I love it. The reason, I don't know about you guys. Maybe you got saved because somebody loved you into the kingdom. Praise God. Amen. I got scared into it. I didn't want to go to hell. I found out the love of God was going to save me from the wrath of God. Amen. You ought to fear the coming judgment. And you got to understand there is a way back. Quickly, Isaiah chapter 1. You need to use this verse. You need to believe these scriptures. You need to look at people. I don't care if they're straight or queer. I don't care if they're up or down. I don't care if they're alive or dead. Use these verses, man. Isaiah chapter 1. I bet you never read these verses. Like I'm going to show it to you tonight, this morning, and then we'll be finished. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Now, was Sodom there in Isaiah's day? No. Sodom had been destroyed 1,300 years before. But he still speaks and he says, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full. We would say, I am full up of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. That was their type of worship, just empty worship. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, even you're so silent. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. Why? Because they, like Sodom, they were trying to be religious, but in lifestyle, they were filthy. Verse 15, and when ye spread forth your hands, be careful all the people who are so quick to just wave their hands in worship. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. I like how verse 16 says, wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. You learn how to do wicked. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. Sodomites. Do you see the context? He's talking to people who are just like Sodom. And he says, though your sins be as scarlet as Sodom, they can be white as snow. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.